Hello, this is Autumn Miles, back with the Autumn Miles Show. How are you doing out there? The 4th of July is approaching, and I am an America girl. I love my home. I love the fact that we live in this beautiful land. Yesterday we had on, such an incredible guest. His name was Michael Pretty. He was a U.S. Marine veteran now, and he struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is what we call it. We call it post-traumatic stress disorder. We have a guest on today that is going to talk about that a little bit more and kind of explain that. He's dealt with some of this as well. And I think it's so important that we honor our military, we honor our policemen, our firemen, anyone that is serving in our communities. We need to honor them. I know that there pretty much everyone knows someone. I'm looking at my producer and like talking to her today. Her son is a Marine. So yesterday's story really resonated with her. I think she was a little teary-eyed, which I was like on the verge too. I had to keep it together because of the show. But we all know someone that has come back from fighting that sort of struggles to fit back into society because it's difficult, you guys. You know, listening to his story yesterday, I was overcome. He almost put us there in combat, and then having to come back and go to the mall and, you know, buy a shirt or whatever, like that just, it seems crazy to guys that are trained to go out and defend our company, our country. And we have a police officer with us today as well. Oh my goodness, I don't even have my notes right. I'm sorry. We have the privilege of having David Allison on our show today. He's a U.S. Army military police veteran and a retired captain of Roseville in California Police Department. David, to say we are honored for you to be on our show is a great understatement, but that's all. Oh, that's all the words I got. So we're very honored. Welcome to the show, David.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate being here.
Now, David and Michael right now are sitting on the side of the road. So if you hear any road noise, just it's okay. They are in the middle of an event right now, and they have graciously agreed to be on our show. But David, we're very interested in this PTS thing that you guys sort of go through after defending our country and after defending our communities. So I would love just a little bit of background on you just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit, and then we'll get into that.
Sure. My story kind of starts actually in Roseville, California, where I grew up. And my grandfather served in the Navy in World War II. My father served in the Air Force during the Korean War time. And, you know, so service was something that was important to me, and it was something that I felt like I should do as well. And before I graduated from high school, I joined the United States Army, and as soon as I graduated, I was off to boot camp. And, you know, that was during a time when we were not in any kind of a necessarily an armed conflict. We were in what's known as the Cold War at that time. Mm-hmm. But I entered as a military policeman with the intent of furthering that career once I completed my enlistment. So that's where I kind of got the start. And then as soon as I got out of the military, I immediately went into the police academy and was hired immediately. Went to work for the Santa Monica Police Department, where I worked for almost 8 years before I came back north in California to the Roseville Police Department, where I worked for the next 23 years in a variety of things in the job. I was one of those fortunate ones in a department that it was a small department at the time that grew to a medium-sized department due to the exceptional growth in the city. But I had an opportunity to work in every capacity, from patrol to investigations to motors to a canine handler to the SWAT team. You kind of name it, I had an opportunity to serve in all of those areas. And as a result of that, of course, you're exposed to a lot of things, both personally as well as through what your fellow officers go through. And then in 2011, I retired after 30 years in law enforcement.
Wow.
And at that time, just kind of moved on with my life, but I was too young to kind of do nothing, and service is really in my blood. So I had a friend who had developed ALS. It was in an advanced stage in 2012, and he was a fellow police officer, and he was a cyclist, and I was not. But I started kind of writing during that time and started thinking about how I could serve him and his family, and the only thing that I could come up with was a trip across country on a bicycle. And so in 2012, after about 4 months of training, I loaded a bicycle up by myself and rode across the country to try to raise money and a little awareness about ALS for my friend.
Wow.
That's where it kind of got us to where we are today.
Well, talk to me a little bit about your time in the Army and in the police department.
Sure.
What is that life like? You know, to me, you know, I'm a ministry girl. I'm not sure. I see. I have a lot of respect for those things. But give us a little snapshot into what is life like.
Well, I think, you know, the first thing that people have to understand is law enforcement is really it is a calling. I truly believe that. I think it's a calling that God puts on your life. To serve in that capacity, because it isn't for everybody, and it's not, you know, there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of pitfalls that you face in a career such as that. You know, it starts with, you know, I've missed a lot of birthdays from my children, my wife, myself. I've missed Mother's Days, I've missed Father's Days, I've missed Christmases, I've missed every holiday you can think of I've had to work where I wasn't there for them. And those are just some of the personal sacrifices that are made, not just you, but your family. You know, my daughters and my wife made those same sacrifices that I did.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know, but beyond that, it's, you know, it's the exposure that we have to the worst things in our societies. You know, there's a lot of publicity right now about things that are going on with law enforcement. They're not well-liked.
Yeah.
And usually it is, unfortunately, just a misconception or somebody's taking a snapshot of facts rather than looking at the entirety of the circumstance and then just blaming law enforcement. And, you know, it's kind of been like that my whole career, but it's become much more pronounced over the last few years. And it's really disheartening for me to see that because I know what officers go through. I mean, the one thing that has always struck me as an officer does not go to work each day thinking, oh, gee, today I may be able to take somebody's life. That's the last thing on their minds, and when that happens, it is a very challenging thing to go through because they deal with it, you know, from the standpoint that they've had to take somebody's life, and then the aftermath of that is generally full of lawsuits and your name being drugged through the media and being accused of being a killer, and there's a lot of things like that that officers go through who are put into a critical situation such as that. But then beyond that, you know, every day you're dealing with child abuse or spousal abuse or fatal traffic accidents or homicides or suicides. And, you know, day in and day out, you see some of the worst stuff that society has to offer. And at the end of the day, you pack it away and you go home and you have dinner with your family and you go to bed and you get up and you send your kids off to school like your next door neighbor. But I carry around that burden of what I saw or what I did. And those things are very challenging for our first responders. And, you know, the only thing that I've found that really is the way to carry that is by having a relationship with Christ. If I didn't have that, I don't know how I could do that. I think back many, many years ago, about 25 years ago, after I was involved in a critical incident in a shooting, and my father happened to be on a ride-along at the time of that incident, and I remember him asking me after that later, how can you do this job and be a Christian? And all I could say is, how can I do this job and not?
Wow, yeah.
I just didn't know how I could really manage what I deal without having that relationship.
Well, let me just stop you there for a second. Hearing you talk, it's just, I think these are things that not a lot of people think about. Unfortunately, we just kind of live our life and think that the bad guys are kept away by, I don't know, I don't even know how. I mean, we know that policemen exist, but you guys are the ones that are combating the evil in our society as much as possible. So hearing this, I'm so glad that you just sort of shed some light in our communities. And I know that policemen have gotten a bad rap for whatever reason over the last few years. But, you know, all you listeners out there, you know, I don't know what your viewpoint is on it, but these guys are protecting us on a daily basis. If anything happens in our homes or anything, who do we pick up and call? We pick up the phone, call 911, and a policeman's there, or, you know, someone is responding to whatever is happening in our home. So I respect you guys tremendously. My son, I have a 7-year-old son, David, and we were at the mall the other day, and he walked into a candy store, and there was a police officer standing there, and he went straight up to him, and he just said, "Thank you." And the police officer looked at him, and he was so sweet. He's very gracious. He gave my son a hug, because you guys are, you know, my kids' heroes. And so we really appreciate you. Yeah. But I want to get to this PTS, because this is so interesting to me. And I really feel like this is sort of not talked about very much. I'm wondering, you're seeing these suicides every day. You're seeing this abuse. You're seeing, you know, you're having to kill people to protect people. How did you first know that you did have PTS?
Well, I would say that, you know, it's kind of one of those things that rears its ugly head at times. You know, I mean, from us, it's a cumulative effect, because you're exposed to so much in the course of your career that, you know, it's not like a combat veteran who may be exposed to, you know, a tremendous amount of horror, if you will, in a shorter period of time. Ours is more of a cumulative over the course of 20 or 30 years, where you're seeing this stuff day in and day out on a smaller scale, sometimes on a larger scale, depending on where you work and the types of incidents that you may face. But nonetheless, it's not the same kind of effect. And for me personally, it was, I think it was more that cumulative thing over time. What you see is you behave differently. You know, you get upset with people over things that, you know, most people probably wouldn't get that upset about. Mm. You know, I can think back following one incident where within a few weeks after that, I was helping my daughter with her homework, and, you know, she couldn't figure out a very, very simple thing. And I'd really lost control to the point that my wife had to step in and say, "What are you doing?" Wow. And it really struck me at that moment that wasn't normal and that wasn't okay. And it had to have something to do with the things that I had been involved in recently, and, you know, that I was just acting out in a way, because it wasn't her. But those kinds of things definitely happen at times in our lives. I think we react abnormally. I mean, one of the things that I still struggle with to this day is the driving habits of people when they're texting and driving or doing other things where it's really kind of reckless, you know, and they're putting other people's lives in danger. And as a cyclist, it's even more noticed by me at this point. And, you know, what I find myself is getting really angry to a point of, you know, like you want to kind of reach out and grab somebody and say, "What are you doing? Do you realize what you can do? I want to pull out all of my old pictures and go, look, this is the result of what you're doing. This is what can happen."
Mm.
And that's, you know, I don't think that's normal. I think that is abnormal in the sense that I've been exposed to all these horrible things. I've had to sit in the living room of countless families who have lost somebody in a tragic accident that shouldn't have happened.
Hmm.
And to share with them or to tell them, "Look, this is what happened to your loved one. And yes, I know it shouldn't have, but it did." Those kinds of things you carry with you, and then you think about them. The way it continues now, again, the way I combat that is through my relationship with Christ, and certainly through the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program, having been through it in February, as I know you spoke about with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me to, I guess, build upon that I already had in my tool belt, if you will, that to address those issues. But it is a struggle, and I would say that it's a struggle that is a silent one. You know, nobody wants to talk about it, certainly not in law enforcement. I lost a lot of friends in law enforcement who walked away from their career because of the stress and the post-traumatic stress they dealt with, whether it was dealing with child abuse cases or dealing with a number of suicides. And, you know, I sat there with those guys and watched them as, you know, they broke down and they just couldn't take it anymore and they were done.
Mm.
It was sad, because really that's our fault for not caring for them before they got to that point. You know, I had another friend who actually committed suicide. Mm. And as a result of that, you know, that's really kind of brought it near and dear to me, and this opportunity of being involved in just in the little way that I am with Mighty Oaks has just been, I think, another opportunity that God's placed in my path to say, here's something you can do.
So talk to me about, I mean, you just said the suicide thing, and I was actually shocked as I read the pre-production notes. You know, one of the things you said was there's 22 vets a day that commit suicide from PTS.
Yeah, and that unfortunately is not necessarily an accurate number. There's only about half of the states that report veteran suicide separate from regular suicide. So that is the most accurate number that they can give. I'm sure it's higher than that.
Okay, even that is, you know, wow. Yeah. One of the other things that I have down here, since August, well over 5,000 veterans have committed suicide. Is that around accurate, do you think?
Yeah, we kind of calculated just using that figure of 22 a day from when we first started talking about this until right before we left on this journey, and it's over 5,000, and I'd say that's a pretty darn accurate number that, you know, veterans are dying at an enormous rate at their own hand because they aren't getting the help that they need or the healing that they need. And I know as Michael spoke about the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program, you know, that healing is just found through Jesus. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to hear that. Not everybody wants to believe that. But there is healing there, and the results of this program and the success rate of this program is something that we can't argue with. Mm. We've had tremendous success with 1,000 students so far and zero suicides. I think that that speaks volumes about the program itself, which is clearly based on a relationship with Christ.
So talk to me about just clearly the definition of this program. Of course, Michael spoke very highly of it, but the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program, it says here in my notes, it's free for all veterans. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Any veteran anywhere in the United States who is struggling with their post-traumatic stress, if they apply online to the Mighty Oaks Programs, .org, I believe, is the website. I could have that wrong. I'm not always good at various websites, but Mighty Oaks Warrior Programs can be found online. They will get an opportunity to go through that program, and it is free. I know when Michael went, he was in New York on 2 weeks' notice. They put him on a plane, flew him out to California, took care of him for the 6 days, and then got him back home.
So it's
the program in February, there was actually a gentleman that had some additional issues that he needed to address, and they got him into that additional treatment following the program.
Awesome. So when we talk about the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program, tell me exactly what would, if I was to sign up to go through this program, what could I expect?
Well, you can expect, especially it is primarily focused on combat veterans. So
okay.
I don't want to mislead anybody in that area. However, they've had certain first responders, such as myself, somebody from the World Trade Center, and some other folks that have been through the program as well. And what you can expect is the program is taught, if you will, or at least facilitated by combat veterans, all of whom have similar experiences to those who are going through the program.
Okay.
As I sat through the program, I was amazed at hearing the stories. What you will find is every instructor, prior to every class or every presentation, will give a piece of their testimony about what they've been through, what they've done, and how it's affected them. They're very vulnerable, which opens the door for the students to become vulnerable as well. And then in those breakouts, you're in a group that you're assigned to the entire week, and those breakouts go sometimes till 2 o'clock in the morning of guys just talking mm-hmm. about their experiences and you know, opportunities to kind of talk about how to bring your life back into alignment to where it needs to be so that you can deal with those issues in a different way. And that's really what they can expect. It is very different from probably anything that most people would expect because there is not a significant amount of time talking about post-traumatic stress.
The classes
are strictly about how to align your life with what you were created to be. And then there is a brief class on post-traumatic stress, what it is, what it isn't, so that people can understand that. And if they're, you know, if you're paying attention and you're focused on how do I align my life when it comes to how I treat my wife, how do I align my life and how I, you know, behave in society, all of those kinds of things, everything else kind of comes into into order, if you will. And there's the challenges that you face seem to diminish. And the other thing that's really important about the program is they use what they call corner men, because, you know, it's called the Fight Club, as you've probably already heard.
Yes.
That's obviously because we're fighting for what's important, but those guys are, you know, they get corner men, which is guys that are in the class or instructors who they can call anytime, day or night, when they're struggling to help
wow.
them work through it.
That's amazing. Wow. This is an amazing program. I'm so glad that you're on my show. talk to me a little bit about the Lord. You have said multiple times, and we're very big old Christian show over here. You've said many times that the Lord is the one that sort of brought you through these traumatic times. He's the reason why you're still standing today. Talk to me about just some scriptures that have really ministered to you in hard situations.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's two that probably are the most profound to me, and I'm not sure they're that profound, but they are to me. And one is Proverbs 27:17, which is, as iron sharpens iron, so one man shall sharpen another. Mm-hmm. And I really truly believe that scripture is a scripture appropriate with the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program, obviously, because we're working together to sharpen each other, to make each other more Christ-like in the way we live our lives and how we serve in society. And that scripture is just one that, you know, I have it tattooed on my leg next to my military tattoo, and it's the intent is to remind me, you know, that, you know, I have a responsibility to sharpen others, not tear them down.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, sharpening can also be a little abrasive, but that's okay as long as it's done in a loving way and you're working to improve somebody and where they're at.
I love it.
The other scripture that really stands out to me is John 15:13, which is, there's, you know, no greater love than this, than one man should give his life for another.
Mm.
And interestingly enough, you know, that I've had that tattooed on my shoulder for some time because I really feel that's kind of a life scripture for me, in the sense that, you know, I served in the military, I served in law enforcement, and I was more than willing to give my life, if that's what it came to save someone else or protect them. And that's, you know, something you just have to accept when you're in that field. And what was really interesting about that is, as I met Mike in August or so of last year, he has the same tattoo on his leg.
Oh, wow.
So it was one of those things, and it really became the scripture of no man rides alone, you know, because that's really what this is about, is, you know, we both served in that capacity, in the sense that we were willing to give our lives for another. And, you know, that doesn't, in my mind, that doesn't necessarily mean just giving your life to the extent of dying. It means giving of your life as well in every way that you can for others.
Hmm.
And that's something that I just feel I continue to do. And, you know, I'm not ready to just go to the movies and go bowling every day. I need to kind of do something with my life. I mean, I am retired, but I'm not dead yet, and there's things I can do that can help others. And, you know, this was a great opportunity for me to be involved in the No Man Rides Alone, and I'm just kind of thrilled that I'm in a position in my life that I can do that, and that I can do something that in some small way may make a difference in someone's life out there.
This is amazing. I just want to, we have one last question for you. I have just a couple sure. minutes left here. You know, what is some practical advice that you could give to families or family members or any loved ones whose family member is dealing with this PTS? What can we do to help support our loved ones?
Well, I think the one thing you can do is recognize that they're not broken. There's nothing wrong with them. They're mm-hmm. they're reacting normally to very abnormal circumstances that they've been placed in. It's, you know, frequently we call these people, we call the military people broken, we call law enforcement broken, you know, when they can't recover after taking someone's life, you know, well, they're just broken and they can't do the job. That's not true at all.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's cup can only hold so much.
Mm.
And if we aren't dumping that out and pouring out in other people's lives and allowing Christ to refill it, we're all going to break at some point. We're all going to have struggles that we cannot handle. So what I would tell people is, you're not broken. You're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that can help you. I mean, I'm one. Michael's one. The Mighty Oaks Warrior Program is one. I know that the program is currently primarily based for military combat veterans, but when I was there and I spoke to them, they are considering how to expand it to include law enforcement and other first responders. And, you know, interestingly enough, Chad Robichaux, who started the whole thing, was initially a police officer in New Orleans and was involved in a shooting while he was there. So he has a lot of experience, not just in the military side, but the law enforcement side, and he has a heart for that as well. So, you know, I don't know where that's all going to go at this point, but I'm certainly available in that regard. That, you know, I've been through the program. I've pretty much walked in the shoes of what most law enforcement officers have walked in. And I would say seek out good counsel. Don't just hide, and certainly don't hide in a bottle or go into a dark room and hide out, because that's what so many of us do, and we think that we're screwed up and we can just handle it ourselves. And what I would say is you can't handle it by yourself. Oh. And we weren't meant to handle things by ourselves.
Amen to that. You know, if you want to get a hold of David Allison, his email is David Allison, Allyson, 52.
No, it is I.
Oh, it is I. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
David Allison, Allyson, 52 at gmail.com. And I would encourage you to email him. You know what, David, it has been such an honor, like I said before, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here as well.
And thank you so much for listening to The Autumn Miles Show. I'll see you next time right here.